This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, covering a lot of things around the Umpqua Valley. A two-segment program today. We begin looking at the Sevel and Blackberry Festival. One of the organizers, Dwayne Waller. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, how many years has this been going on?
This is our 37th annual event.
Now, you haven't been involved the whole time.
No. I started in 1998 with Blackberry.
That's still a long time.
It's a couple of days.
Yeah. So what was the idea? And I know somebody will ask if they're newer to the area, why the blackberry? What's the connection?
Blackberries are ripe about that time of year.
And it's as simple as that?
Pretty much.
Wow. Okay. Let's see here. The festival has got 3 days. And where are most of the events taking place, or is it kind of spread around?
Actually, most everything is centered around Central Park or within 100 or 200 yards of Central Park, with the exception of swap meet. And the swap meet's on Comstock, and we have a bus going from the car show to the swap meet on Saturday. So if you wanted to go to the car show, park your car, and head over to the swap meet, you can just hop on a bus. It's free. It gets you over to the swap meet on Comstock. And there's also a spot at Lauren Young Fields to get on a bus. If you wanted to park your car and didn't want to fight traffic on Saturday, you could just park at Lauren Young Fields, hop on a bus, and head to either the swap meet or the car show.
Now, is the swap meet, is that all vehicle-related stuff?
Mostly, but they do have some craft booths, too. Our overflow for craft booths in the park goes to the swap meet.
And so that is going on. Let's kind of take it through, go through the each individual day. Talk about on Friday, what's happening?
We have a drive-in movie in the park for classic cars. This year's movie is Herbie the Love Bug.
And I have not seen that. Well, I don't even want to say how many years.
I haven't either.
But I was allegedly alive when it came out. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it's been a couple of days. So we do Herbie in the park, and then that's Friday night. And the booths should be open on Friday night. Saturday morning, we know it's going to rain, but we're allowing pop-ups in our car show on the outskirts of it. So if you wanted to put your car in the car show and bring a canopy and endure the rain until about 10 o'clock in the morning, it's supposed to stop. You're welcome to, but you just have to put your canopy on the outside edge of the car show.
So when you talk car show, what are we talking, all classic cars, all specialty cars? What's going to be on display?
It depends on what they bring, anything and everything. We have enough room in the park to put about 215 cars. So generally we get just that many.
We fill
that park absolutely full. And I'm hoping, even though it's supposed to rain, that people come out and park and put their cars in the park and enjoy the show.
Well, and I know a lot of classic cars in particular go out there, but you see some pretty cool ones throughout the event. Now, you've also got on Saturday the Blackberry Cook-Off. Talk about that.
Blackberry Cook-Off is, well, just that. You've got a whole list of categories, and if you wanted to view those categories, you can go onto our website and take a look at what category you can enter. Besides on Saturday, there's a mud volleyball, and there's BMX races for the kids. So Saturday night, we have a cruise, and the cruise will be going rain or shine, and it shouldn't be raining Saturday night, so we should be fine.
Right, and where does the cruise go?
It goes from Dollar Tree to Bi-Mart.
So you kind of go one end of town to the other.
Yep.
And what else is going on Saturday night?
We have the Barely Local Band in the park and the Half Shell be entertaining people during the cruise. So that should be a lot of fun. They're a good band.
And you've got, food booths and things like that, right?
We've got a dozen food trucks, and we've also got 75 craft booths in the park.
Wow. Now, what kind of crafts are we talking?
You name it. They've got so much stuff I can't even tell you. It's just everything you could imagine.
Wow. So that's all going on Saturday, but there's still more things on Sunday.
On Sunday, we have a bike build-off, and the bike build-off is going on starts about 10 during our motorcycle show. So we have a motorcycle show and we're adding a bike build off to it. So it they teams have 100 days to build a bike and get it ready. And the culmination is going to be shown on Sunday during the festival. And then we also have the mud races on Sunday. It costs you $45 to enter your truck. And if you want to be a spectator, it's $10 a head to get in. We have like one of two 300-foot long tracks in the state.
And where's that located at?
It's off of Waite Street for the guys that are racing, off of State Street for spectators. It's south of the park. You can walk from the park across the footbridge, walk right through the rodeo grounds, and you can get into the mud races there.
Now, you also have something kind of interesting, the pet pie eating contest. You have to say that very carefully.
Yes, you do. People can bring their dogs out. We have pies for their dogs to compete eating, and they have trophies for your dog. So it's a family-friendly event.
Wow. And a chili cook-off, too.
We do have a chili cook-off. I'm not exactly sure how involved it is. I never get a chance to taste it. I'm hoping I get a chance this year. I'd really like to get some food once.
When you're kind of the main organizer, you're running around just trying to make sure everything's happening.
Yeah, I basically don't have to worry too much about that, because if it all goes bad, it's my fault. And my volunteers are so good that we don't have a lot of problems. It's amazing to see the amount of involvement that they have.
Yeah, I mean, it takes really a lot of people to do this. One of the other things people have been seeing for quite a while now is that you have got a number of raffles, including a classic vehicle.
We are giving away a 1964 Chevy 2 with a supercharged small block Chevy in it. So this year's car should be a lot of fun for the winner. So if you haven't got your tickets, you need to get them.
And you've got other things being raffled off, too.
We do. We have daily raffles on Saturday in the park and on Sunday in the park. The car will be given away on Sunday. And all of our tickets, there are 8 other prizes, and I can't list them off the top of my head.
But if you go to the website, they're all there.
They are.
So what's the funnest part about putting this all together?
Actually, seeing all the success, everything that we do, we turn around and we take what we've made and we give it back to our community in different ways. We gave away $12,000 in scholarships this year just from the proceeds of last year's car and efforts. So every year we try to make a positive change in our community. Everything that we're doing goes back to our community. So that's...
Now, is there a particular focus on the scholarships?
We're right now half and half trades and continuing education. So we want kids to apply from Sutherland and Oakland because we give both schools scholarships. So we split between the two schools.
Wow. So other things people ought to know about the Sutherland Blackberry Festival.
Well, the Sutherland Blackberry Festival is responsible for the Timbertown Toyland Electric Light Parade around Christmas. So our staff comes together again and puts the light parade on every year. We've been doing that since 2006.
And that's a big popular event.
It seems to be. People enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
And, of course, the website for the event is up. You've got a Facebook page as well. And let's see, it all kicks off, what, middle of the day tomorrow? Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning we start loading into the park. Tomorrow afternoon the vendors should open by 5, and movies should start about 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night.
All right. Sutherland Blackberry Festival. Dwayne Waller, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Switching gears to talk about Umpqua Valley Arts. Ashley Kluver is on. Ashley, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kyle.
So let's talk about what's going on. I mean, it's been a busy summer, and you are getting ready for fall, but some things happening even next week at UVA. What's going on?
Yeah, we've been having a busy summer with festival and art camps, and we're now transitioning to our favorite event at the end of summer, Umpqua Plein Air. That is happening next week from August 18th through 22nd, where anybody in the community can catch artists painting out across Douglas County for the paint out event and competition itself.
Now, plein air, explain what that means if people don't know.
Plein air is a French word, and it means open air. So it essentially means the practice of painting in the open air. It is a centuries-old style of painting that got artists out of the studio and in the field, essentially, to capture landscapes around them live and in the moment, rather than trying to rely on memory in the studio. And for a while, it was used as a way to do studies, so that way artists could decide when they curate their landscape piece, what they wanted to keep in the scene and what they don't want to. But these days, it's a tradition of painting live on scene to create beautiful paintings that just capture the moment and the connection the artist has to the scene on hand.
And some of the painters are not just local, they're coming from other places, right?
Yes, quite often we have artists from outside of Oregon, up in Washington. We've had a couple come from Idaho and California. We have had some come as far as Texas, and I think this year specifically, we have one artist coming over from New Jersey, if I remember correctly. So our event is a pretty good hit amongst practicing plein air artists.
So you've got the painting going on, but then you do a really quick turnaround and have an opening reception next Friday, right?
Actually, it's a little different than what we normally do. Normally, they're on Fridays, but the artists are painting out all week right up to the last second on the 22nd, which is the Friday, and then they turn the works in, which they're then juried for prizes and accolades, and then we hang the work and showcase it for the first time on the Saturday, the day after, which this year is August 23rd, and that's from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. in a special free opening reception.
Wow. So that, I mean, that is, people just think about logistics. That's really quick to take a look at all of these, which some of them are essentially still literally drawing, right?
Correct. Yeah, a lot of the work is still wet. And we have a juror. Her name is Amy Erickson this year. Every year we invite a juror to come and jury the works to pick the top 40 pieces that will hang in our main gallery, the Hallie Brown Ford Gallery. They also pick awards like first, second, and third place, various accolades like Best Umpqua Sky, Best River. And then the rest of the works all get hung. So no matter what, even if an artist doesn't win anything, they still get to have the experience of having their work exhibited in the halls. And that does include our Young Artisan Plein Air paint out event, too, which is actually coming up this Saturday.
And are the kids going to be in one particular place?
Yeah, so they'll be coming to Umpqua Valley Arts' campus. They get to paint out on the campus and experience the art of plein air. It's a free event that we host. We just ask everyone to register their kiddos so we know to have enough complimentary kits available, because we do provide materials. And they get to spend an hour or two painting different foliage, fauna, just things that are on campus. Or if their parents want to take them maybe to Stewart Park, you know, they're welcome to take them to Stewart Park to paint out and then bring the works back before noon. So that way those artists can submit their works to be in our student gallery for our Young Artisan Plein Air exhibition.
So it's supposed to rain Saturday morning. How do you make that work?
Ooh, we play it by ear. Last year, we had a chance of rain, and we were lucky that it didn't happen until after the event. We're keeping our fingers crossed it's the same. But sometimes what we'll do is we'll identify ways we can set up some canopies or find an awning in a particular place that we can pop up at. And that usually does us pretty well.
All right. So that is going on, and people are welcome then to come by and kind of watch all that?
Yeah, they're definitely welcome to come by and see that, and definitely like all next week as well. If they happen to be out across Douglas County, they can definitely catch the adults too.
Now, you have a members exhibit coming up, well, later in the year. Talk about that.
Our annual members exhibit is a special showcase where each artist member who is an active UVA member can submit one piece to a non-juried, known-theme show. It's for all media, so anybody working in any kind of media are welcome to apply, and they can submit between now and October 10th.
And now you said any kind of media, so you get a lot of different different types of things in this show, and probably people with maybe a little experience versus people with a lot of experience.
Yeah, we get everybody at all stages of their art career. We get everything from textiles and fiber arts to ceramics, metalwork, oil paintings, even some mixed media works where they have multiple different media present in the work.
As you go through the year with the different exhibits, do you ever kind of take input from people as to what type of exhibits to have?
Once in a while we do, and usually the best way to do that is through our exhibit proposals option. So artists interested in proposing exhibits for their own work or organizing group shows can submit proposals to us. Usually we have the opportunity open until October 1st. It's a free opportunity, and artists can do solo exhibits, they can propose group exhibits. It's an opportunity for artists to kind of bring forward their art and give us kind of ideas of how we can plug them into our exhibition programming.
All right, let's jump over to education. Talk about your school programming coming soon.
Yeah, so we have some really exciting news. We are bringing back some of our favorite after-school programming. We have a lovely art club coming up for ages 9 to 12 and 12 to 18. And then we're also going to have another third age range for some of the smaller types who, and younger artists than that even, who want to get their hands in exploring new modes of creating, learning skills, building an artistic vocabulary, and just connecting with other young artists. Registration will be coming soon for that at uvarts.com on our youth education page.
And let's see here, with the school coming back, what else do you have art-wise for kids?
We have actually some amazing opportunities in our Clay Play studio. Coming soon, we have an opportunity for teens ages 12 to 16 to start participating in a bi-monthly clay class. It's a 3 to 4 week long class that happens every other month, and it's designed to provide teens with a chance to learn about hand building and wheel throwing techniques. And then if they continue to register from session to session, students who come back will be able to flex their skills to create a foundation of knowledge for working with clay on different projects, because our teacher is going to have different projects during each session. We do have scholarships available for that to help support anybody that might need a little extra help to afford that in the community. And the information about the scholarship opportunities in the forum, and we're always happy to do what we can to help. So if anybody is curious and they want to know what scholarship opportunities are available to allow their teen to participate, we encourage them to check out the forum and the link that's in the forum for the scholarship inquiry.
Still got a couple minutes left. What are some of the other things you want to let people know about?
Fall term, speaking of Clay Place, fall term registration opened for members this week, and it'll open for non-members next week on August 19th. We have no mini packs left, but plenty of full packs available, and we also have a special workshop separate from the studio term coming up. We have a Sgraffito Altar workshop with Shelby Rokas of Earth and Fern Co. It's going to be August 26th and 28th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. All materials and instruction are included. And one last thing, Art in the Park has been back, and on September 12th, we're hosting our last one of the summer season with the Simon Twins tie-dye. The Simon Twins tie-dye will show their process and technique for making beautiful tie-dye works, and each person will be able to have their own customized shirt that they get to take away with. Registration does come with materials and instruction, with some additional add-on options that include enjoying a slice of pizza with a root beer float or a charcuterie box. And that's kind of like the gist of it. Like, lots of different education opportunities coming up really, really soon.
Now, I know your website is pretty comprehensive. Kind of explain to people what they can find on there.
You can find information about everything we talked about today, from exhibitions to arts education to events. We've got it all on there. If you go to www.uvarts.com, you'll see a full, like you said, comprehensive menu at the top with further submenus underneath that will allow you to navigate to the different pages that we have information on. And worst case scenario, if you need extra help, you can always give us a call when we're open, Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And our phone number is 541-672-2532.
And real quick, tell people what's involved about becoming a member.
Becoming a member really, what it supports is our year-round programming. We're always grateful for every membership that we receive because it allows us to stay sustainable throughout the year and helps fund our programming. With a membership, you get access to being a participant in our member show. You get additional exhibition opportunities, increased percentage of sales when you exhibit with us, discounts on classes, workshops, and even a booth at the Summer Arts Festival and many more things.
All right, UV Arts, Ashley Cliver, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.